Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Eddie Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Now, we're talking about computer games, so there's only one man to speak to there, Jonathan Beals.
That's right.
FIFA 21, making a few changes.
Yeah, it's going a bit PC with the celebrations, but fair enough.
PC, or indeed PS4, or the Xbox.
Good point.
Also, we had a bit of a chat.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. Again, you always give too much of yourself, Andy, and you did once again. Yep. Some of your nocturnal habits in the boudoir. Always a joy to talk about that. And we spoke to Johnny from the Ale in the Vale podcast, big Port Vale fan, about their new shirt, controversial new shirt, partly designed by the great Robbie Williams. Yeah. So, and Don't Ask Me, very exciting, Don't Ask Me. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
I really got to stop talking about cricket in the middle of test matches when England are having a bit of a bad
session. Were you slightly... We were keeping in touch throughout Saturday afternoon, and I could tell you were torn between looking like an utter burk for all the stuff you said on Friday, especially about Joss Butler.
Yeah, I know.
And then, but wanting England to win, which is ultimately what you want.
I did. I mean, look, I had a bet on Pakistan before the match. I don't mind admitting it, before the match started, because I thought the odds were ridiculous. I thought the bookmakers...
Well, 5-1, weren't they?
Yeah,
you're
thought,
right.
And 4.5-1. I thought the bookmakers had got it wrong. Yeah. So, you know, I thought, well, you know, give it a go. Why not?
A great patriot you are.
You know, I wanted England to win, but I just, you know, it's just a bit of insurance and a bit of my sporting hunch. So, of course, I was completely compromised. I mean, it was a nice little payout. And I was thinking, well, I quite like the payout and I quite like the sort of my reputation not being trashed as a complete idiot. But on the other hand, I want England to win, so it doesn't really matter. And in the end, it was a wonderful test match. And
that's fantastic.
That's the most important
thing. What an afternoon that was.
But I did get a few people going, you said that they remember. Shut up.
Well, you did say.
I did. But, you know, I say a lot of stupid things. I say a lot of things that are right, and I say a lot of things that are wrong. Yeah. It's the nature of the job.
I suppose it is.
You know, I have an opinion. So
you
if,
do. You,
know,
you get could... off the fence, Andy. God bless you for that. Martin Kellner has highlighted today on social media. Steve, the excellent Steve James, of course, former professional cricketer turned journalist. He said, after this, no one can doubt Butler as a test batsman. And Martin has said, apart from Andy Jacobs on TSH.
All right.
The thing is...
The thing is, he played brilliantly. He did, but even in his own admission, and that's what I like about him, he said, I was in the last chance saloon.
Of course I like him.
So I did actually say at the same time, he's one of the finest one-day players in the world. I didn't trash him as a cricketer. No. I just said, I don't think he's good enough to keep wicket for England. That was my main crux of my argument, and the fact that, you know, it cost us 110 runs. But in the end, he has more than just a good player. What he has is he's got heart. He's got, you know, he's a really... That was a brilliant innings, and you've got to give it to him. And Wokes.
Sensational.
Look, when Wokes first started, I said the same thing about Wokes. I said, I can't see what the big deal is. But he's got better and better and better.
That
now
was
he's
great.
A wonderful player.
We had a chat with Gus Fraser, who was then one of the England selectors. And Andy said, well, sorry, for Gus, for me, Chris Wokes... This is after they picked him for the test team. Chris Wokes is not a test player. And Gus went... Well, he said, I guess I'd have to disagree, considering I've just picked him to play for England.
Look, you know. You win some and you lose some.
Yeah,
that's the way
course.
It goes. What can you do? And then to Saturday night, another bet, because I knew Chelsea. You know, I think Bayern are the best team in the Champions League, the best team in Europe. I think they're a wonderful team. They're one-touch football. They're a great mixture of experience and youth and... people who are at their height, you know, and they've got a great striker. They're a brilliant player. I didn't expect Chelsea to do anything in that game. So just a thought, I thought, you know what? They're tired. Brian have had 5 weeks off. They're going to get a thrash tonight. So I had a bet on 4-1. I thought to myself, no, what's, you know, it just makes it less painful.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the odds were 16-1 for a 4. So I thought, you know, I don't bet big. So I only bet little small amounts.
The last six minutes
were so exciting.
When they got
Keep them out, lads.
When they got that fourth goal, did you punch the air?
Yes, of course I did.
So bad.
No, because we were losing anyway. The game meant nothing. It's been a wonderful season. I think, Frank Lam, I'm amazed at some of the yesterday in the Sunday papers, of course, columnists have got to make a living and they got to have an opinion, just like I have on England cricket. And Andy Dunn, basically in the Mirror, Sunday Mirror, he couldn't see why everyone had said it. He said he'd had a superb first season as Premier League boss. He found that mystifying.
Hmm.
Oliver Holt in the Mail on Sunday, completely the opposite. He thinks that, you know, given everything, I agree with him, like everything that was up against him, it's been a brilliant first season. I mean, the idea that they would finish fourth, no one thought that. I think 3 out of 21 pundits, the BBC poll before the start of the season. So I think it's been brilliant. And I always said to you, next season is the season he's going to be judged on. You know, basically, they've already spent 70-odd million or 80 million. They're going to spend more money. So come the middle of the season, that's when people will start to judge it. Are Chelsea going in the right direction? I think they are. But, you know, and I think we all want him to succeed because he's a, you know, club legend. So we'll see what happens. But this is, the next season is the one to judge him on, not this season. So I'm surprised at all that. But
I think you tell you he's just liked something that Kai Havertz has posted. I mean, what an odd thing. I mean, why not lay it on the line?
Well, I suppose that.
Yeah.
I think you'll get the idea that, you know, He is coming here. And you know, and again, I think William, I thought it was a very nice message. I agree with Lampard. He's been brilliant for Chelsea. It's a fantastic 7 years. He, like every footballer, hasn't been totally consistent over the seven seasons. He's had better seasons. He's often had a very good season when the team haven't played well. Mm. I think he was player of the year in a couple of those type of seasons when they sort of jacked it in with the manager and he never did. So, you know, all credit to him. But it's interesting. This is the third old Chelsea player that Arsenal have taken in the last 3 or 4 years. Cech, Luiz, and now Willian. I don't know why they changed their kit to blue and train at Cobham. Quite a good idea for them. But look, if they think they can get something out of him, I think the way it'll go is he'll have a very good season. But, you know,
he'll be diminishing returns after that.
I think it's got to be, isn't it? You know, when you're 32, but we'll see what happens. More pointless nonsense yesterday in the papers from Summer. Montes, Fulham have given Scott Parker a new contract.
Oh, yeah.
To give her a full name.
She's all over the shop, isn't she? She's getting so much coverage.
They basically put together, one of the papers, I can't remember which paper it was, put together a photo shoot with her.
Yeah.
Because she did this other photo where she looked like the girl in the sort of tennis poster, you know, famous thing. They did it also. Other famous
So a completely
posters.
Made up unaccidental pose has then begats another series of what would she look like if she was in a lot of Hollywood stars.
Yeah, like Marilyn Monroe and all that, you know.
I mean, the way the old tabloids work when they get their teeth into someone.
It's incredible though, isn't it? It's amazing. So Paul Hollywood though, he's got a new barmaid lover.
Has he really?
Yes, and she's also got
barmaid lover. Wasn't that a Stevie Wonder song?
Or a lover who's a barmaid.
He could rework that, couldn't he?
He could do. Yeah. With a football connotation. Her name's Melissa Spalding United FC. He does like a football connotation.
Really?
Yes, it's something about him. I don't know what it is, but there we go.
Fantastic. He might be stepping out of our own Max Rushton and Diamonds very soon, won't he? That'll be good.
He might.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. I just want to feel real love,
feel the home that I live in. TalkSport listener Robbie Williams there. He could be listening now. Good afternoon if you are, Robbie. We know he listens a lot. And he's been partly involved in designing Port Vale's new kit. And it's caused a bit of a stir. I went and checked out the Stoke Sentinel website, and the fan base are torn. Some love it, some can't stand it. Well, at least, you know, an extreme view is probably what you want rather than sort of, you know, indifferent.
Hmm.
It's a bit different. Last year's kit was predominantly white, as it often is, with bits of black. But this is, I don't know, what would you call it, Andy? It's not, it's sort of...
yes, it's quite...
It's a very Italian-looking design, isn't it?
It's a bit... Yeah, it's a bit pop art, and it's got a V. The shape of it makes a V, which is nice. I think it's really nice. Black and white shirt. It's better than Juve's new shirt. I think it's one of the reasons they went out of the competition. That shirt's absolutely disgusting.
It's not great, is it? Anyway, let's chat to Johnny Hancock from the Ale in the Vale podcast. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Afternoon.
So what camp are you in then on the new shirt?
I absolutely love it.
Oh, good,
It's one of them kits where we're used to having white kits and the quite standard templates, but this one was just massively out of the blue and it's lovely.
It is, isn't it? It's kind of, it does look, I say, looks very Italian, looks very stylish.
It's got Newcastle stripes in the shape of a V, really, isn't it? It's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the away kit. I've seen the keeper's shirt, which is just that in a sort of ambery colour, but it seems to work well. But a surprising amount of your fan base not massively keen, are they? Oh, we've lost him. Where's Johnny gone? There we are. Try and get him back in a minute.
What are you going to do?
I'm not massively pleased with ours. I've got to be honest. This season, they've done an away kit. It's like a sort of green. It looks like a sort of cycling shirt. That's got the away shirt's quite nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But the home kit is a bit. So what, really? It's like an old Bolton shirt. You can see Gudney Bergson wearing it in the mind's eye. Anyway, sorry, Johnny's back, and I was just saying, Johnny, that quite a lot of your fan base, looking at the Sentinel website, say quite extreme views. They're not massively keen.
Yeah, it seems like it has divided everyone. But from the people that we spoke to, because we did a little poll on it over the weekend once the dust had settled after Friday, it seems to be more of a grower than a first impression. I think a lot of fans were a bit like, wow, that's out there, it's horrible. But once you've seen it up close, it's actually really nice.
Yeah.
But them down the road have also been telling us it looks like a dartboard. So,
yeah, of course. Of course they would do.
But they're not going to like it at all. So how much of a part did Robbie Williams play in this? Do we know?
So as far as we're aware, he helped design it along with the chairman, the chairwoman's son, and also the manager had an influence on it, and that's what the letters on the back are. It's his mantra, so it's want, need, expect.
Oh, I haven't seen
that's,
the back.
Yeah, that's a bit of a sort of mantra of his, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So you'll be buying one, Johnny, will you?
I brought it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well done.
straight in there. Was there a big, did you buy it online or did you go down to the socially distanced club shop?
Yeah, we went down to the club shop. So the past 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, did a bit of an open day. So. Yeah. The chairwoman was there, the chairman was there, the club mascot Boomer was there. So they were just at a bit of fun. They were giving out free ice cream and refreshments to the little ones and stuff like that. So it was all nice to see, and it's a real good feel-good factor around the club for a change.
Good. Yeah, I mean, because you were a bit unlucky in the end, weren't you? Just outside the playoffs when it all shut down, and you hadn't lost for a while. You'd had a pretty decent run, and was there a bit of a feeling you were going to get in the playoff positions if the season had carried on?
Yeah, I think for me it was a hard one because from the point of view of the season previous and nearly getting relegated to where we were then, it was a massive dramatic improvement. But because we were so close to the playoffs and we missed out the points per game by less than a point, it was quite hard to take. But we had the chairwoman on the podcast and she explained a bit more in detail about why she voted the way she did. And when you listen to her speak and hear what she said, you kind of can't help but think that she did the right thing for every club, not just ours.
Mm. She's also been talking about the salary cap, Johnny, and she says that, you know, our plans are as they were before. It's not going to make a great deal of difference to us. The players they were looking to buy, they think they can still work within that. So have you talked about that on the podcast? What's your feeling about a salary cap?
Yeah, we had a bit of a discussion last night about on the pod, and we're all for a salary cap, but against the one that's been given, because I think it punishes clubs in every league that have got a bigger fan base. Because when Bradford are selling 18,000 season tickets but being told that they've got the same budget as clubs in the league that have got 1,200 people turning up every week, it doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, I think Pompey said much the same thing. You know, there is that seems to be the problem. I mean, I imagine that they'll tweak it as time goes on, but on the face of it, that doesn't feel right, does it?
When is the season going to start at the same time as the Championship and the Premier League? Are they going to start without crowds? I mean, I thought this was one of the reasons they had to shut down, that they couldn't, it wasn't viable. So how's this going to work?
Yeah, well, we've been told it's the 12th of September, and the club are planning to get fans in from that date if the government allows, but if not, October. So I think because of the budget this season, we've been able to know that this was going to happen, whereas last season it would have killed some clubs, I think, if we would have tried to play on.
Yeah. Well, look, good to talk to you, Johnny. Enjoy the new kit. What's the away kit like? Have you seen that yet? Have they announced that? Is it sort of the same design in reverse or what?
We're not sure. The away kit's out at the end of the month. And Robbie's also had a bit of a hand in that as well. So
Nice one. Cheers, nice. Johnny. All the best.
Cheers, thank you.
Johnny Hancock there from the Ale in the Vale podcast, obviously the Port Vale podcast.
It's just reminded me, do you remember we spoke to Loch Ness FC about
shirt? And that was a big seller, wasn't it?
And I ordered it on the day and it still hasn't arrived, if you're listening. Thanks, I've just realised.
Well, you know, that's probably one of the great mysteries, isn't it?
Yeah. Good
point. How did it get lost in the post? How did all the Nessie shirts get lost in the post? But, that's right. We'll keep going, Andy, and I'm sure they'll come through for you're not complaining, are you?
No,
you know this in the fullness of time. They did say that they'd sold out and they had to get some more.
Obviously,
get some more made.
Yeah, well, good for them. I'm glad it's done well.
Yeah, good.
It would be nice to actually get one eventually. I had paid for it.
I'm sure you have.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, FIFA 21 have announced that when the next game comes out, they're going to do away with toxic behaviours. Some of the goal celebrations you've seen, including, I mean, not that bad.
Aren't they just based on real life ones, though?
Well, they are, but, you know, maybe they feel that it sets a bad example. But, I mean, we're not talking about a kind of Nescafe handshake to the crowd. It's a shushing motion. But, you know, anyway, joining us now, gaming expert, friend of the show, Ipswich fan, Sky, Soccer Saturday reporter, Jonathan Beals. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Andy.
So, shushing is seen as toxic here in that particular world. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, so it's come to light that with the upcoming launch of FIFA 21, they're taking out the celebration. So when you score a goal, the camera cuts away to the cinematic video clip of whoever scored it, and they're doing their goal celebration. So it's the shushing. That's one of them. The other one is the Dele Alli kind of A-OK celebration.
Oh.
And one which has also been muted, which might be taken out, is that Ronaldo calm down celebration too.
Okay. What's the thinking? I mean, why have they decided? Do they think this sort of sets a bad example for kids? It's a bit sort of in your face. It's not what the game's about in their eyes.
Yeah, I think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A couple of things, really. I'm quite surprised, actually, they're doing it. But on the same token, I can see why they are doing it. It's been muted and it's been said that it can be used to kind of encourage bullying and banter and things like that, which, you know, okay, you know, FIFA's been around, you know, for a long time. It's been published every year since 1993, so it's got a huge audience. It's also got a 3 certificate. So basically, you know, if you're 3 years or older, you can play it. And I think what they're trying to do is remove every possible contentious angle from the game that they could possibly have. Goal celebrations, for me, I don't think it will change anything, because if you're playing FIFA with somebody, either online or in the same room, you're going to have banter. You're going to say something. You're going to rib them. It's all, you know, because it's all about the winning. But where this came from was that they had a lot of comments, and I'm guessing it's by people who were losing, who made comments online, who put comments on social media, on the forums, and said, I don't think we should be having that side. I think that's a bit unnecessary. So I think any opportunity where they can remove anything which is potentially contentious, they'll take it out.
And apparently, I'm just reading here, they won't have VAR, which is a bit odd, really, because you think that is a big part of the game and might be quite fun to introduce, or fan-free stadiums. I can see why they wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I think what they're doing, I think, you know, just going back to the goal celebrations, what they are going to do is cut them down, make them much shorter, because goal celebrations and, you know, when you have that stadium intro with the game, when it boots up, it's all production value. You know, it's all padding, essentially. It doesn't really play part of the game, because, you know, if you're playing somebody generally and you're doing quite well, all you want to do is kind of kick off. So you just click through the goal celebrations anyway. So what they've done is that they have shortened those overall. But you're right, yeah, they're not going to have VAR. They're not going to have empty stadiums. I think they're right not having empty stadiums, because I think, you know, even when you looked at the Premier League and the Championship coverage and all the empty stadium coverage, it's okay, but I don't think it's that, you know, because you want an atmosphere. And I think if you're buying a game, if you're playing football, generally football is known for fans and atmosphere and everything else.
Yeah, the game's supposed to be escapism, of course. You don't want the hard realities of the fan-free world when you want to escape of course. It's not a lot of fun.
Did you know that one of my family members is a developer for EA Sports for FIFA?
Oh, in, not really?
In Vancouver, yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
That's where they do it.
That's where it all began.
Yeah.
A guy called Bruce McMillan started it in 1993. And it originated from Canada. In fact, it nearly didn't go ahead, because EA had such a lot of success with Madden in 93 on the NFL side of things that FIFA nearly didn't happen at one point.
Wow. What's their biggest game, Jonathan? What is it? Is it their biggest game globally then?
I think with EA now, in terms of the audience, I mean, it's absolutely huge. It's a paid-for game. They've got another game called Apex Legends, which is essentially, it's a free-to-play game, much like Fortnite. That's all about the players, where you have in-game purchases. But FIFA, you know, ever since 1993, they've released it every single year. It sells millions and millions and millions of copies. But, you know, they have to be seen to being responsible. And I think, you know, if there's anything, any bone of contention anywhere, they will change something. So I think on the celebrations, that is, you know, generally one of the reasons why. And I think also, you know, as I mentioned before, goal celebrations, you know, anything after the goal just slows it down. And to be honest, for me, I think they're actually quite annoying.
Okay. Cheers, Jonathan. Good to talk to you, as always. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
Gaming expert Jonathan Beals there on those changes to FIFA. So does your rally get like a sort of penny a game?
I've no idea how
it'd be
works.
Nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's a very good lad. He's young. He's only about 35 or something.
Okay,
like that. Yeah.
So he's not. He wasn't there. Not one that was there.
No,
at the beginning.
He's been there for some time. And I mean, they're mad about football. Him and his dad. They run these clubs in Vancouver, and they do really well. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I would imagine at the moment, Andy, most referees and assistant referees covering games would much prefer a crowd to be in the stadium, as we all would. But maybe one that was probably chuffed that there was nobody in Ibrox yesterday was Douglas Ross, who was running the line, who is the head of the Scottish Conservatives and a regular top-level assistant referee. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm guessing that the govern branch of the Conservative Party HQ is not particularly massive. So I don't know how well... I think Douglas would have got a little bit of clog, wouldn't he, as he was running up and down the line.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Not ideal. And, of course, I'm quite fascinated by the Beckham engagement between Brooklyn Beckham and the very, very, the heiress, Nicola Peltz.
Wow.
And it says here, Nicola was seen wearing her £350,000 engagement ring.
Blimey.
Blimey, photography plays well, doesn't
it? Yeah, he must have done a few weddings and christenings recently, £350,000.
And apparently there's going to have to be three engagement parties to avoid any embarrassing clashes between David's parents, liberal pals, not David, Brooklyn's parents, liberal pals. I'll get there in a minute.
That's why you're not reading
Donald
the news.
And Donald Trump.
Andy said to me earlier on, we're good at reading scripts.
Well, no, I'm not reading, that's because in the script. I'm trying to pricey it. Nicola's dad is friends with Trump.
Is he?
Yes. And has a
lot. Donald, I take it.
You're not Judd, which is the complete opposite to Victoria's friends. She thinks many of her liberal friends won't attend a bash with Trump, which she's probably got a point. So she's planning a party in the UK. So right now there's one in the UK, one in Florida, and one in New York. And then, of course, there's the planning for the actual wedding.
They can't have three weddings. That's without the planning for the actual wedding,
Andy. They can't be.
That's going to dominate your every waking hour for the next couple of months, isn't it? I can tell.
It certainly is.
Did you see that new TV format, which is launching soon? Don't Rock the Boat. I wasn't aware of this.
No.
Because apparently Kem Chetanay, who we spoke to a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, yeah.
Kem, he was from Love Island and takes part in soccer. We often chat to him about the football. He decided he didn't fancy doing it. But Don't Rock the Boat is a TV series which sees 12 celebrities row from Land's End to John O'Groat.
Row.
I mean, that's quite a commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think? 650 miles in a boat with...
Who would it be? Gemma
Tommy
Collins.
Tommy Cannon. I don't know. I mean, I've got no idea.
Gemma Collins, Tommy Cannon, Steve Redgrave.
It'll be obviously with respect to Tommy.
Yeah, it's probably difficult for him.
He's a man in his probably late 60s, early 70s. He can't row 650 miles. I just pulled his name out. But it'll be young, fit celebs like Kem and stuff. But it's interesting, isn't it?
What a terrible idea for a TV show. Really.
Freddie's doing it, of course, apparently. I think he's involved.
You know, they have moved I'm a Celebrity to Wales.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Oh, Lembit Opik. That's not his name. Lembit Opik, it is.
Yeah, that's it. It is his name. Yeah,
it is.
I know. It's still surprising when you say it that it's actually a name.
I know.
And not a bit of odd Scrabble hand.
I always think of OPEC, you know, the oil producers thing.
That's okay. Thanks for sharing your thought process.
I called him OPEC instead of OPIC.
Okay. That's no one cares.
No one cares. I don't even care. But apparently, he says that people have always come up to him and said, oh, I know, it's filmed in Wales.
Yeah.
You think those people are so thick. How could it be filmed in Wales? First of all, it's absolutely boiling. First of all, they have like loads of animals that don't survive, really.
I mean,
it's not really boiling in Wales in December, is it? You know, it's unlikely. But people think they know.
I was involved in a TV pilot once with that. It was just a tryout. And so you don't spend... The way it works, folks, is that when you're just trying out a format to see if it works, you won't necessarily go Nicolas Cage. To be one of your celebrity guests.
George Clooney.
Yeah. You'll do it on the cheap. Yeah. So there is a lower
hierarchy.
Strata of people that will do it as a tryout to and at that time Lembit fitted into that strata.
It's great, isn't it?
So he came along. The trouble was that the key to doing those things is when you're effectively a foil in a tryout, you don't build your part. It's not going to lead anywhere. It's not going to be shown on the telly because it's just a tryout.
Yeah.
And so you don't... And he basically built his part. He sort of took over and he more or less, it didn't work particularly.
No.
Do you know that can happen?
I think he did a show on TalkSport one time.
Yeah.
Quite old, really.
So there we are. That's
his cousin. His cousin's a personal trainer, Fitbit Opie. Don't know if you know him.
of course he is.
The Guardian, I always love The Guardian and things they do. This week they're featuring Tree of the Week.
Oh, Tree of the Week.
How Guardian is that, isn't it?
What's your Tree of the Week? I'm going Larch.
Larch?
Where are you going?
Oak.
Okay.
I'm right behind Oak.
But I'm looking next door, anybody. Alex, what's your Tree of the Week? You got a Tree of the Week? Sycamore, fantastic. Ollie and John, they're both here. Tree of the Week, boys. Shout out to Alex so he can tell us. John's not interested. He hasn't got Tree of the Week. He's not even listening.
Do they have trees in Torquay?
Of course they have. Do they have Alan Brazil? Do they have trees in Torquay, John?
Of course they do.
When he's talking to David Ginola. Try and guess how Lando Norris relaxes, the Formula One driver. He was talking to the Sunday Times magazine.
Yeah, my wife's going to read me that last night. She said, do you want to hear about Lando Norris?
Does your wife read you articles in bed?
Of course. We always have a book at bedtime.
It's not a book, it's a magazine.
Well, magazine. Sunday night's magazines.
Magazine at bedtime.
Yeah.
That fantastic old format. That even Lembit Opik couldn't mess up.
It's good at the moment. We're reading Bill Bryson. It's excellent.
Which one? I mean, you've got to narrow it down. He's written about 30 books.
the one that was the follow-up to his first one about Britain. It's good. He revisits the place he went.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of it.
Is it Notes from an Island or something like that?
Notes from a Small Island was the first one.
Yeah, well, this is the follow-up to that. And it's good. It's good because I always fall asleep during the book, which is the whole point of why it starts.
Just the idea of... So just then start whispering.
No, but she had this thing where she'd sort of poke me and say... Are you awake?
Get into a good bit.
What's the point of that? The whole point was I think it all started when I first started doing this show.
Yeah.
And I suffered from quite bad insomnia because I used to worry about my performance.
Really?
I don't anymore.
Have
you noticed?
I would be, mate. I'd be more worried now than ever. I'm surprised you sleep at all.
Well, not really. I mean, you know.
Not really.
I did. I got into quite a lather when I first started
doing
this show. Yeah,
I remember you used to get a bit of a sweat on. There was a time it was like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
And also, I just used to...
You were like a puddle, weren't you, within about 5 minutes.
If it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Because I could sense it wasn't going well. Then I'd get a bit, you know... Nervous, you know. So.
And you sense this is going well?
I sense it's gone quite well.
I look next door. I get no sense of that from the gallery.
I sense I made John laugh in the first hour, so I sense that for me is a win.
He's hysterical. He's a very easy...
No, he's not easy to make.
Anyway,
laugh,
Lando anyway. Norris, in case Sue doesn't read it to you tonight,
okay.
He relaxes by playing racing games on his...
I'm glad you've got such a high opinion of me. Fantastic, isn't it? Go on, anyway, Lando
playing
Norris.
Racing games on his computer. That's like that's like our old mate Dave Tully, the pilot, winding down by getting on the simulator and flying to Kuala Lumpur for 14 hours. What would make you do that?
There's no point.
That's not a way to unwind,
no,
is it? It's
not
like
really.
Basically, so Lando Norris, to switch off, goes back to work.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, that, really. Yeah,
okay,
I agree.
Well, he can do what he likes. He's obviously very successful.
Nando's have appointed a
Nando Norris.
From Lando's to Nando's.
Did you do that on purpose?
Not really.
Don't have a sleepless night tonight, because that was brilliant.
I don't know.
That was seamless.
No.
You sleep well.
I've got way over this. I've been doing this show for 20 years, so you know, obviously I'm well over that situation now.
I think you've lost your edge. I preferred you when you sweated and panicked a lot. You were on your game then.
That's very harsh. Even your wife thinks you're horrible to me. She's often said to you, you're so harsh to him. But never mind, I don't care, I can take it. I've got a thick
Andy,
skin.
I don't mean it.
I know you don't. It's a good target. Anyway, Nando's, I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah.
Lando's, a load of celebrity, and it'd be great if he opened his own chicken place.
It would be great,
Lando's.
Yeah. There'd be trouble, though, wouldn't there? If I was...
See, Lloyd's laughing, he thinks I'm funny.
His name's not Lloyd.
He looks like...
Ollie, working with us today, does have a look of our old mate Lloyd Griffith, the comedian and Grimsby fan. He has a look of him, so now he's become Lloyd, of course,
in
everybody's
the way it works,
eyes.
Isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, Nando's have hired a load of celebrity ambassadors, including Maya Jammer. Is that her?
That'll do, yeah.
Perry Edwards, Roman Kemp, Anthony Joshua.
Perry Edwards, she'll be known as now, wouldn't she?
She should. And Jaden Sancho.
Yeah.
So they've obviously lost my mobile number. Maybe they've got my old number.
Yeah. You're not getting the black card.
No, I'd love to. I do go there quite a lot.
Yeah, but that's not enough, is it? It's not enough to get... I do go there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
can I just
I haven't
say
got a
finally,
story on Suzanne Dando to continue this run, but we'll just have to move on,
okay,
Andy.
Okay, go on,
we'll have to move on. I did enjoy our little chat.
Of course.
Why are you sweating? No, of course not. He doesn't do that anymore.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go then, five questions based on last week's shows to see if Andy's brain has been addled by the heat here in London.
Yeah.
Nice easy one to kick us off. We looked ahead to the Terry Harper-Tasha Jonas fight, which was a very good fight actually at the weekend. In the company of which famous woman boxer on Friday?
Jane Couch.
Jane Couch, yeah, nice easy one to kick you off. Rhiannon Lovelace joined us. She is a weightlifter, and the weight she lifted traditionally was two massive barrels of what?
Silver dollars.
Silver dollars, Andy. You're on fire. Andy McVeigh joined us. And he is known, a.k.a. Andy McVeigh. He's an artist, Leeds-based artist, does some fantastic street art. He is known...
The Burley Banksy.
The Burley Banksy. I told you I was a bit worried that you were going to get them all right.
It's good.
Matt McGinn joined us to talk about his book Against the Elements, which talked about football in which country?
Against the Elements. I'm going to have to guess here. Iceland?
Iceland. That's it. That's so here bad. We are. It's quite dramatic. Here we go. Stuart Pike joined us, rugby league commentator. Fantastic game last week. Yeah. Saw Leeds come back against whom?
Oh, no. Falling at the final hurdle. It's Devon Lock-Jacobs. I can't think of it. I can't.
Think of a rugby league team.
It's Castleford that came back, wasn't it?
No, Leeds. It's Leeds that came back.
Castleford.
You're going Castleford.
Castleford.
That's your final answer, Castleford.
Yeah.
Against Leeds, Castleford. That was Huddersfield.
Okay.
So there we are. You did four at the final hurdle.
Nice.
So anyway,
tension managing.
We'll do it all again next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I thought you were going to get it, Andy.
I thought I was going to get it too, but there you go.
Great performance. You pulled out a few from the locker, Iceland, etc. But anyway, we'll try all again next week. So thanks for listening, and we will catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.